All right. Hey, well, today we're starting a brand new series, like I said, called Real Mature, okay? Here's what I love about this phrase, real mature. When I was in college, I remember doing some stupid stuff. Maybe you did the same thing, right? And this phrase was not something that was a compliment when somebody said it to me. It was when I did something dumb and people would say, real mature, okay? In other words, grow up, man. Like, you need to mature, right? And so what we're doing in this series is we're talking about this question is how do we become spiritually mature? Right? How do we become spiritually mature? Why should we want to be spiritually mature? Right? But how do we do that? How do we get there? Why does God want us to be there? One of the things that I know about God is that God wants to grow you. God wants to grow you and mature you. He wants you to grow in your faith, both deep and wide. So one of our environments in kids ministry, our pre-K and under environment, is called Deep and Wide. And it comes from that song that we used to sing back way long time ago in church. Growing up, we used to say, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide, right? It's like we're the fountain, the deep and wide. But here's the thing. God wants to grow you deep and wide. Like, more than just a silly song, we believe God wants to grow you deeper, and he wants to grow you wider. Now, deeper is basically this. God wants to grow you in your faith so that you've got deeper roots in the soil of Christ, deeper roots into who God is so that you start to grow, not just in your stature, but in who you are, in your faith. You start to grow into that person that God's created you to be. That's growing deeper so you can grow taller, right? But God also wants to grow you wider. Some of you are like, I'm already working on that. I'm not talking about your waistline, okay? I'm right there with you, right? Here's the thing. God wants to grow you wider in your influence. God wants to grow you wider in the way he wants to use you in the world. But it only happens as you go deeper. As you dig deeper into Christ, as you reach deeper into who God is, God starts to do something in your life. God starts to make you and grow you not only deeper and taller, but he starts to grow you wider and your influence, and how he wants to use you in the world. So, thinking about real mature, I came across this book. I heard about a book. Anders Ericsson wrote it. It's a book called Peak. Anybody ever read the book Peak or heard of it before? The book Peak is basically, he talks about how people become masters in any field or activity, like in their field of study or in an activity. How do you become a master at it, you know? And one of the things that he coined this idea of the 10,000-hour rule, the 10,000-hour rule that Malcolm Gladwell has kind of made famous. But this book with Anders Ericsson, he talks about the 10,000-hour rule. Basically, if you want to be a master at anything, well, it takes a lot of practice. A lot of times it takes 10,000 hours of practice to become a master in your field or in your activity. And so we get better by doing it more and more and more. And he also talks about, this, by the way, the same is true with spiritual maturity, with spiritual growth. We do it, we become more mature by running after Jesus more and more and more and more and more, spending time with him. But he also talks about how we mature and how we develop as human beings. Like, how do we mature? And he talks about the ages in which we reach our peak. In ages in which we reach our peak at certain things. And so I thought I would share some of that with you with a little game. I thought we could play a little game. Is that okay to play a little game in church, right? We're not going to have like the people dressed in fancy clothes with the briefcases. It's not that kind of game, okay? But here's what's going to happen. I'm going to read a question out loud about an age in which we peak in something, and I want you to just shout out what you think the answer is. If you're totally wrong, no big deal. The points don't matter. All right, so here we go. We'll see how you did. So here's the first one, the age in which you peak. When do you think you peak in your ability to learn a new language? What do you think? All right, let's see what it says. Seven. Hey, some of you are close. That's good. Now, this gives no hope for any of us, right? For most of us in here, like, well, might as well just keep learning the languages I know, right? Country, Georgia, Southern slang, English. All right. Number two, here's the next one. When do you peak in your chances to make a Nobel Prize winning discovery? What do you think? 30. Okay. All right, here's what the answer is. 40. So I've got a couple more years, a few more years to come up with something really big. So I'm excited about that. There's still a chance. All right, number three is this. When do you peak in your ability to remember faces? Some of you are like, I never know faces, right? What do you think? 220. Man, we're all over the board. Here's what the answer is. 32. All right. You know, this is the good thing about Facebook is it helps us to see faces. All right. Number four. Here's what the next one is. When do you peak in your ability to remember names? Never. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's see what the answer is. When do you remember names? Your peak is 22 years old, right after you finish high school, college years. Like, you're at your best, and it's all downhill after that. All right? Number five, here's what it says. It says, when do you peak in your vocabulary? What do you think? When do you peak in your vocabulary? Yeah. All right. So let's see when we peak. Here's the answer, 71. Hey, that makes sense, doesn't it? Like, you know, you're getting better and better, hopefully, right? Here's the last one. It's this. When do you peak in your happiness with your body? Never, right? Yeah. We got a lot of nevers out here, right? All right. Okay. All right. Here's the answer. 74. Now, I saw this, and I was like, somebody's rigged the test, right? That is not right. You don't peak in your happiness with your body at 74, but then I realized it's peaking in your happiness with your body, right? And I realized that while our body is not at our peak when we're 74 for most of us, amen, right? For most of us, we are not, you know, that's not when you see 74-year-olds running out in their bathing suits, right? It's one of those things, though, where I think that this is the age in which we all start to mature in our perspective. I think this is the age, somewhere in there, when we start to realize that, you know what? What's on the outside is just temporary. It's just temporary. But what's on the inside is eternal. I think that's when God starts to change and mature, to make us real mature in our perspective, where we start to have a long range, a kingdom-minded and eternal range at how things are in our lives. And in other words, it's like you know, your earthly body is basically just a rental. It's kind of weird to think of it like that, right? Your earthly body's just a rental, and someday somebody's going to put it in a box or somewhere else, right? But the good news is, spiritually, on your inside, your soul is going to last forever. And so here's the thing. I kind of like how the Apostle Paul wrote about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today. We'll bounce around. But here's a helpful verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Some of you are like, I just lost heart when I saw those stats, okay? He says, though inwardly we are wasting away, yet outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Now, this is a little bit depressing, right? Like, Paul, you know, you've been talking to Eeyore too much, because he's like, hey, guys, outwardly, y'all know, just look at, I mean, if you don't know that that's the truth, just look at your neighbor, you know, just look at your neighbor and it'll confirm, outwardly, we're wasting away. Unless they're 21 and under, and you can just say, get ready, you know? Because here's the thing, the Apostle Paul knows something we all know, is that physically, all of us are on a downward decline, right? And Mandy said, you don't need to, I love that you're the second service. And after the first service, my wife Mandy said, you don't need to hang so long on how much of a downward decline we are. But it's so true, right? Just look around us, right? So here's the thing. Outwardly, we're just on this decline. The Apostle Paul says we're wasting away. I mean, it doesn't take long, and you know it. You start to get up and you start to ache all over in places you never ached before. And you start to, you know, kind of go gray or white, and things start to sag and things start to wrinkle, and, you know, it starts to go downhill. And the truth is, you can nip it and you can tuck it, you know, you can Botox it and you can CrossFit it. You can do all sorts of things, but you're never going to reverse the curse, right? You're never going to reverse the process of what happens physically. So the Apostle Paul is saying, physically, we all dying, right? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. We're all on this downhill decline, but here's the good news. Spiritually, we can actually be at a point in our life where, although our bodies are doing this, spiritually, we can be on a different trajectory. He says we can be at a point where we are being renewed day by day. And that word renew is the same word for mature. That you can be maturing, you can be developing, you can be growing in your faith and in your spirit. And so while physically we're on a decline, spiritually we can be more alive than we've ever been before. And so here's the thing. You don't get a choice. You don't get a choice on what happens on the physical part. It's going to happen, right? You don't get a choice on how many birthdays you've got. You can lie on your birth certificate or you can lie on your driver's license, and some of you probably need to repent, right? But here's the thing. It doesn't reverse the process. But the good news is spiritually, to grow to spiritual maturity is a choice that you get to make every single day. You get to choose it. And so the Apostle Paul, he's writing this letter to the church in Corinth, the Colossian church. He wrote a lot of letters. He wrote a letter to the church in the Colossian church, and he's praying this prayer, and he's praying for the Colossians to grow up. He's praying for them to not just grow up in stature, but to grow up in their faith so that they can become all that God has for them. And it's almost like the Apostle Paul, like a great parent, sees where they are right now, and he's saying, wow, if you could just, it's like he's got a vision of who they can be. You know, it's like, I love where you are, and I love the faith that you have and what God has started in you, but he's like, man, I see so much more over here of where God wants to take you, and if I could just help you to get from here to here, man, you'll be so glad you took that journey. And so we have that letter. It's in the Bible, in Colossians, the book of Colossians. The Apostle Paul shows a few things that happen when we become spiritually mature, why God wants us to be spiritually mature. Here's what it says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. It says this. It says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you, he's saying to the Colossians. We ask God to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And so here's the thing. The Apostle Paul talks about things that happen when you're spiritually mature. The first thing he says is when you're spiritually mature, you're going to know God's will. When you're spiritually mature, you're going to know God's will. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome in your life if you didn't have to kind of guess what God wanted you to do? Wouldn't it be awesome if you walked around and you were confident in the fact of what God's will is for the world and what God's wanting to do in a grand way, but what God wanted to do, what his will is for your life? That's why God wants you to be spiritually mature. That's what happens. He says the next thing that happens is you start to, when you're spiritually mature, you get spiritual wisdom and understanding. You start to have understanding and wisdom about God. And the third thing he says is when you're spiritually mature, you will start to please God in the way you live. And I'll add this, you'll start to please God in the way you love, in the way you love people. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome when we go to heaven someday, and wouldn't it be awesome to hear the words of your heavenly Father saying, well done. Like, I'm so proud of how you lived on this earth. I'm so proud of how faithful you are. I'm so proud of how you lived, right, and how you loved. Paul says, this is what happens when you're spiritually mature. And I mean, you're perfect all the time, but this is what God starts to do in you. And then he says the last thing is when you're spiritually mature, he says your life will produce good fruit. Like what comes out in your life won't be the rubbish that happens in the world, you know, where everybody's trying to get ahead and trying to manipulate the system and stuff like that. He's basically saying, no, the fruit in your life will be love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. If you're spiritually mature, and so the invitation is this, all of that will grow in you if you will seek to know God better and better. If you'll seek to know God better and better. And so here's the first thing I want you to see about spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. Number one, this is really simple. God wants you to grow spiritually. God wants you to grow spiritually. I mean, I just wanted to put the cookies on the low shelf, all right, to make sure we're all clear, is that God wants you to grow, right? In fact, the thing that I love about God is God loves you right where you are, but God never designed you to just stay where you are. God loves you too much to leave you right where you are in your faith. Because the truth is, God wants you to grow and to develop and to become the person that God created you to be. And so here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. The writer of Hebrews says this. He says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ. I love that. Let's move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. So basically, I love this. I mean, it's important to know the ABCs of the faith. It's important to know that we're saved by grace through faith. It's important to know that God is three in one. He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet He's one God in three persons. It's important to know the elementary stuff about God, that God is good and He's faithful and He's generous and He's loving, right? He's got a plan for your life. It's important to know the ABCs, but the writer of Hebrew is saying, don't just stay in elementary school in your faith, not just in knowledge, but let's be taken on to maturity in the way we live. And so here's the thing. I love how the Message translates this verse. It's got a little bit of kick to it, all right? So here's what the Message says. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It says this, so come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ. That's so funny to me. Let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. That's what God wants to do in your life. He says this, grow up in Christ. Grow up in Christ. And so the author of Hebrews is basically saying this, look, so many people experience just a little bit of God. So many people experience the ABCs, the elementary stuff about God, and then we get to that point where we say, well, that's good enough, and we stop in our spiritual journey. We stop growing because we think, you know what, I've got just enough of God in my life. I'm as close enough to God as I need to be to get through life and to get through being a parent and to be successful in my career. I've got just enough. And we stop right there when God is inviting us to say, man, there's so much more. Like, I want to do so much more. And I love this illustration of finger painting because, man, finger painting is awesome when you're in when you're in preschool, right? Finger painting is the stuff when you're in preschool. I've got three kids, and my middle child is my daughter, Kelsey, and she's 4 years old. And she is cute, and she's sweet, and she's spunky, all right? And Kelsey, we got to go to her little open house for her preschool, that she just started preschool, and she was so excited. Very different. Our kids are very different. Kelsey is the one that when she walks into a room, she pretty much says, ta-da, right? We have something in her room that says, when God made me, He said, ta-da, because that's like her whole life has sparkle and spunk to it, right? And so we've got this picture of her walking into preschool, and everybody else is holding hands with their mommy, but Kelsey's not. She's got her book bag on, and she's walking in front of mommy, like, I own this school, mommy. You know, this is our life, right? Well, anyway, we went to her preschool open house, and they had these four activities for the kids to do. And one of the activities was, sweetheart, can you go find your name and put it up on the board? And she's like, I will knock that out, right? And so she gets it, puts it up there. Next, what else you got for me? You know, this is her, right? And so we get to this station where there's paint on a plate, and there's like this little artwork thing that's a blank canvas. And Kelsey gets so excited. We go over to the table, and we find out that she's going to do her handprint. Maybe you did this with your kids, or maybe you grew up doing that. And so my wife, Mandy, she takes a little paintbrush, and she starts painting little Kelsey's hands. And Kelsey starts giggling and laughing because it tickles, you know? And she's like, this is so funny. And she's like, so excited. Bottled up this bottled up energy that I get to paint with my hands. And so she gets it, and she puts her hand carefully down on this canvas, and it's this beautiful artwork for her, you know? And she looks at us like she's so proud, and we tell her, wow, that's an awesome artwork. We love that, right? And it's so cute, and it's so sweet when she's in preschool. But I want you to just imagine this. Imagine, like, here's the thing. Unless you're an art teacher, we have some art teachers. Unless you're an art teacher, it's kind of weird to be finger painting as your primary way of communicating through art, right? As your primary way of writing something. So just imagine if you go to school, or not school, well, you can go to school, but imagine you go to your job, and all of a sudden you're supposed to be doing a PowerPoint presentation in front of all your colleagues. Or imagine you are putting together spreadsheets that are going to determine what happens in the next business, next business cycle, right? And so you're doing all this stuff, and instead, what you get up to present is you stick your hand in paint, and you start writing your name, you know? That's weird, man. Like, that's weird. You're probably getting fired on the spot. It's weird when we do something like that, but when it comes to spiritually in our faith, we oftentimes stay at that same stage. We stay right where we are sometimes. We choose to stay at a preschool level in our growth, in our understanding of God. And so here's the truth. We're not created to stay where we are in our faith. Like, you were made to grow because God has so much more that he wants to do in you and through you. And so no matter what age you enter, no matter what age, we all enter into faith at a preschool level. There's nothing wrong with being at a preschool level in the faith. Some of you may have come into church. We're thankful that we're a church where people come in the doors for the very first time, all the time here, right? Where it's like, man, this is like my first time ever in church, and we're so glad you're here. If you're brand new to faith, we're so glad you're here. All of us enter in at a preschool level. Where at one point in our life, faith is new. Faith is, there's so much to learn, and it's like every single day, it's like a new horizon, like we were singing about. But here's the thing, you weren't made to just remain finger painting, to have a preschool finger printing faith. You weren't made to have that forever. Because if you stay where you are, you'll be missing out on the fullness of the abundant life that Jesus wants to give you. God loves you so much that he invites you just as you are, but God loves you too much to keep you where you are. And so instead of that preschool finger-painting faith, I think God wants to grow your faith, and he wants it to look a lot more like this picture, right? A real mature, right? He wants you to look more like a mature tree, like a growing, where your faith is growing bigger and stronger like a giant tree. One of the most famous trees in all the world is this tree. It's General Sherman is what they call it, General Sherman tree, which is in California. And it's not the biggest tree to ever live, but by volume, it's the biggest living tree in the world. There's been other trees that have been bigger than this that have died, but man, it's still standing, General Sherman, all right? And so it's in the Sequoia National Park, and this tree is 275 feet tall. Massive, right? If you've ever seen a fire engine, a fire engine's ladder, when it stretches all the way up, that's about 100 feet. I just confirmed that with a couple firefighters, by the way, in our first service. So it goes about 100 feet. But then just imagine, this is almost like three ladders, fire engine ladders, right, all the way up. And so there's no way we get a picture of the whole thing. But just check out the trunk on that baby. You know, I love this picture because you see this guy standing here, and poor guy, right? If that tree ever comes his way, he's gone, right? Outwardly, we're wasting away. Anyway, that was from my wife, by the way. She told me to move on from that point. But anyway, look at how big the tree is. Around diameter is 25 feet in diameter. It's massive, like a big swimming pool. And I want you to think about this. I know a tree can't talk. I know a tree probably doesn't have thoughts, right? But just imagine how much life this tree has experienced. Imagine all the seasons it's been through and all the storms that it's gone through, and yet here it is still standing. And I think this is what God wants for you and your faith. God wants to do something in your life where he grows you so much that you're like this strong tree that's just standing firm. You know, if you were to cut a healthy tree open, every single year, if it's really growing, what happens is it gains another ring. And you can kind of see this in this picture. Every year it gains another ring. And so you can count the age of a tree a lot of times by counting its rings. Now here's the thing. We don't automatically just grow because we gained another year. But here's the thing. If we're growing in our life, like God wants to start doing this and growing us in the same kind of way. See, trees like this, like General Sherman's tree, it's unmoved as the years go by. The roots grow down really, really deep into the soil and under the surface. And their branches are so big and so healthy that people come from miles and miles in order to just watch it and look at it. That's what God wants to do in you. That's what God wants to produce in you. God wants your faith to grow bigger and stronger like that, day by day. And year after year. And so the good news is you never have to peak in spiritual maturity. You never have to reach your peak, right? And so here's the thing. Maybe you're here today and maybe you would say, you know what, I feel like I have peaked in spiritual maturity. Maybe you'd say, man, I feel like I've peaked. Like maybe you've gotten to a point where you've grown as close to God as you feel like you can. Or maybe you would say, you know what, there was a time in my life where maybe you were closer to God than you are right now. Maybe there was a time in your life where you had more joy. Maybe there was a time in your life where you prayed more, or you walked with God more, or you you were able to hear God's voice more clearly, right? Sometimes it storms come and it clouds what we're able to see, but God's still there. But maybe you were at a time in your life where you were so filled with his presence that you wondered, like, could I even get any closer? Here's the thing. Here's the good news. Whether you have fallen back from where you've been, or whether you think you've reached a lid of where you can go spiritually, you never have to stay where you are, because there's always more of God. Here's the thing. When Jesus died on a tree, when he was hung on a tree, basically, right? It was a tree cut and put in, made into a cross, right? He was hung on a tree. And when he stretched out his arms, it was this invitation for us. He's stretching out his arms symbolically to say, hey, this grace is open for you. Come get it, right? It's open for you. But when Jesus died on the cross, you know what also happened? The veil of the temple that separated the people from the presence of God, it was torn from top to bottom, meaning that it wasn't torn by somebody else did it. It was torn by what God has done. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he not only stretched out his arms, but it's almost like he kicked down the door. He kicked down the door to say, hey, there's no more barrier. There is no more barrier between me and you so that you can have a growing relationship with God right where you are. It means that you can be as spiritually mature as you want to be. So here's the second big truth about spiritual growth I want to share with you today. Number two is this. You can be as close to God as you want to be. You can be as close to God as you want to be. And that may sound simple, but man, if you take that in, that's crazy. You can be as close to God, the creator of the universe, the one who put your DNA in order, the one who created the stars and set the world in motion, the one who created the animals and the plants, the one who worked in Abraham's life and Moses' life, the one who worked in a boy named David and raised him up to be one of the greatest kings that Israel's ever known. The same God who came for us in Jesus Christ, who healed the sick, who clothed the naked, who brought people with leprosy and he healed them. You know, he's the same God who died on the cross and after 3 days rose from the grave so that you could have eternal life. Here's the thing. What he's saying, basically, we can be as close to God as we want to be. And it doesn't depend on your past. And it doesn't depend on what you've done or how bad you've messed things up. It doesn't depend on that. Like, you can be as close to God as you want to be. It also doesn't depend on where you start from. That's great news for some people in here, right? Because maybe your story is like so many in here that maybe you didn't grow up in church. Or maybe for a long time you haven't really been around God and around church stuff. And I just want you to know that if you didn't grow up learning about Jesus, it doesn't put a lid on you for how far you can grow in Christ. Like, you can have as much as God as you want to have. You can grow as close to God as you want to be. God is available for you through the cross, right? What he did on the cross. He's wanting more of you. And so spiritual maturity is this invitation to just grow closer to the God who made you, who planned you, who purposed you, the same God who wants to work in your life. And when you do, God will begin to renew you day by day. Here's what God said in Jeremiah 29. Before we get to it, Jeremiah 29. A lot of people have heard Jeremiah 29:11. We get to graduation seasons and we post it on our refrigerator. This is when God says to his people, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now here's the thing. We put that on our bulletin boards and on our refrigerators. But you got to know that the people of God were looking at a season when everything around them, their city was in rubble. Their people had been exiled because they had been disobedient to God. And they're looking around at this rubble, at what their life used to be, and they're like, man, there's no hope. Like, everything around me is like, I can't see how there's a future here. And in the middle of that, God delivers this message, and he's like, no, I know you can't see it right now. I know it's hard to envision that anything can happen out of this rubble. But I got plans for you. I got plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And right after that verse, two verses later, in verse 13, Jeremiah 29:13, here's what he says about being close to God. He says this. God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jesus said something similar, didn't he? Jesus said, look, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And so the good news is this, the good news is this, God is waiting for you to just desire more of him. God's waiting on you to run after more of him and to grow and mature in your faith. Basically, you have to seek after God with all your heart. And so let me ask you this, how would you live differently if your main goal was not all this temporary things that we run after? But what if the main goal of your life is, God, I just want to get closer to you today than I am. Closer to you tomorrow than I am today. Well, I just want to be closer to you, God. You can be as close to God as you want to be. Let me explain it like this. Spiritual maturity is kind of like this line. If you were to draw it on a chalkboard, this continuum of so let's just say zero. Let's say zero represents zero. If you're at a zero spiritual maturity, that basically is when you have no kind of desire for God. This is when, like, maybe you don't even know that God exists, right? That would be zero. But even if you do know that God exists, this is kind of like, I just don't see how God's story and my story intersect. I just have no desire for God. That'd be a zero in spiritual maturity. And here's the thing, even when we are unaware of God, even when you don't even want anything of God, God's grace is still running after you. That's the good news. But let's just say 10... Let's say 10 is salvation, okay? Let's say this is the point in which you started a real relationship with Jesus. You decided to trust Jesus as the Savior of your sins and leader of your life. And this is where you start the journey, right? And then let's just say down the road, right? Let's just say 20 and then going on beyond that is spiritual maturity, okay? And so here's the thing. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, about salvation. Here's what it says, Ephesians 2. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a what? It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. Not by works so that no one can boast. And so what John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, called this salvation experience, when you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, he called it justifying grace. This is the point in which we're justified with Christ. But he didn't just say salvation. He said, no, it's connected to grace. Because it's based on what Jesus has done for you, not what you did for him. Right? It's we're saved because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And this is the beginning of the journey. But then spiritual growth and spiritual maturity is what happens every day of your life after this. After you come to faith in Jesus, the rest of your life is to be spent growing closer to Jesus until the day you die. When I was a senior in high school, I remember feeling like I had grown. I knew Jesus as Savior and Lord, but I remember kind of getting a little bit discouraged in my faith because I thought that I had reached the end. Because what I thought is maybe I thought there was a little bit more, but I thought that the goal of our life is through God's prevenient grace, through God running after us, to get to a point in our life where we say yes to Jesus and we experience him. And then after we get to 10, salvation, then we're just done and we're waiting around. And I remember thinking, there's got to be more than that. And what I didn't realize is that God wants to spend the rest of your life working out and growing you into the person he created you to be. And each of us is on a different place in our spiritual journey. Everybody enters at a different place. Some of us are one or two. Some of us enter as an 8 or 9. But no matter where you start from, once we accept Jesus by grace, but oftentimes what we tend to do is we think that spiritual maturity is now only about us and our effort. Well, I guess if I want to grow, I got to try really hard, right? I got to work really hard, and I got to read the Bible and do this, and that's good, right? But here's the thing. I want you to know that the truth is spiritual growth is also a gift of God's grace. It's also about grace. In fact, John Wesley called this process of spiritual growth sanctification. Sanctification, it's the process of God making you more and more like Jesus and more into the person he created you to be. And this is for the rest of your life as God starts to actually work out his salvation process in you. You're still saved, but man, you get to become more like him. And so here's the big idea I want to share with you today, and it's this. Spiritual maturity involves both God's grace and your effort. It involves both God's grace and your effort. In other words, it's God's job to grow you spiritually, but we also have to work with God so that God's grace can work in you. We have to work with God so that God's grace can do something in you, right? And so that's what we're going to be talking about. That's where we're going throughout the series, and we'll talk about how to do it. Let me give you one final thought as we talk about partnering with God and spiritual growth. The last thought, number three, is this, about spiritual growth. And this is so important. Number three, you are in charge of your spiritual growth. You're in charge of your spiritual growth. Like, your spiritual journey will be whatever you make it. Just like working out, whatever you put in, that's what you're going to get, right? And here's the thing, it's not ultimately about what somebody says on this platform that's going to grow you. It's not ultimately about what anybody does in your, you know, for your faith. If you're a teenager or you're a child, it's not about what your parents do, right? It's not even your church's job, right? It's not even our church's job, right? Here's the thing, we'll partner with you and help you to grow, but your spiritual growth, it starts with you. It's about you deciding in your heart of hearts that, you know what, I want to run after more of God. I desire more of God. And the truth is, you can have as much of God as you want, and God will give you as much of himself as you're willing to pursue. But here's the question as we close up. How much of God do you really want? I mean, how much of God do you really want? I mean, how much will you desire to be close to him? Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much that as we talk about growth and what you want to do in our lives, thank you, God, that you love us so much, that you accept us as we are, but you don't let us stay where we are. You love us so much that just like a good parent, parents, their kids, you are our loving Heavenly Father, that you want to help us to grow into the people you created us to be, and you won't stop working until we get there. And so I pray, God, today for the person in the room who feels discouraged in their faith. God, I pray for that person in here today who maybe they says, you know what, I would like to be closer to you, God, but I don't know how it's possible. God, I pray for that person in here today who's maybe at a 2 or 3 or an 8 or 9, and maybe today would be the day that they step across the line to put their faith and trust in you and to begin a real relationship with you. God, I pray for that person in here today who has been growing in Christ and is not sure all the different things that God you want to do in their lives, but God, that person that just wants more of you. God, I pray that you would help all of us to get to that point where we just want more of you, Jesus, because it all starts with our connection with you. God, would you grow us? Would you shape us? Would you encourage us that as you do your work in us, as our job is to work with you so that you can do that work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.